Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, the 13th of May. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And with me today to duke it out with you in the most civilized manner possible, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning.
John just can't get enough podcasting anymore.
Hey, John.
He just keeps showing up here. So,
all right. There you go. Yeah.
Glad to have you both with me. We're here to talk about watches. Specifically, we want to talk a little bit about the Apple Watch. We've had an interesting point raised by Rene Ritchie about having the Apple Watch work with Android devices. And this is a thing I know that Andy Notko, hi Andy, has talked about before, because his daily driver phone tends to be an Android device. And he would really like if his Apple Watch could actually do things. Would really like to you know, make the Apple Watch part of his routine. And it's kind of hard when your daily driver is not iOS. And I might even go so far as to say it's almost useless if your daily driver is not an iOS device, because they're meant to be very complementary devices. So the question becomes, if Apple were to do something like this, you know, what would that look like? How does it work? Is it even something they should be doing? So I'm going to leave it to the two of you to kind of hash that out. Now, John, you had an interesting stance on this when we discussed it briefly.
Yeah, yesterday in the morning meeting, we kind of previewed what we were going to talk about today. And my first reaction was infrastructure, you know, protecting the infrastructure. And I thought about it more and more and more. And I read Renee's article and I'm going, no, I don't think so. There is a precedent for this that Renee brings up. Remember the old days when the iPod would have came out?
Which old days?
Had FireWire and you could only use it with a Mac. And then eventually Apple transitioned the iPods to USB and sales took off because you could buy an iPod and do iTunes on your Windows machine. So there is a precedent for this activity. And so I read through Renee's article and he hits all the important points, and I kind of agree with him now.
Yeah, the iPod could not have evolved into the iPhone, which is essentially where it went. I mean, I realize I'm skipping over a lot there, including the iPad, at least the internal version of it, which came first before the phone. But the iPad, like the path that paved, it was necessary for that to be a Windows device or Windows capable. And then, you know, kind of it became a standalone device, right? Like at first, the iPod was very much like the Apple Watch, right? We called the iPod iTunes to go, right? Because you needed iTunes, which meant you needed a Mac to get it to work. And it wasn't until Apple rolled out iTunes for Windows that now you could put an iPod over there. Okay. And then sort of became its own device. And the Apple Watch certainly appears to be on a similar trajectory, be it without any public acknowledgement of a platform other than iOS or iPhone, its master. But if there's a master, that was discussed. But it certainly has been discussed and sort of bandied about that the Apple Watch will be its own standalone device that do more and more, right? Like, I mean, now you can buy apps directly on it. If you have, effectively loaded into it, you can do all sorts of things, your phone being within range. And so it seems to me that Apple's is moving in this direction of that Renee paints, whether or not Android becomes a management platform for it is an interesting thing. And you can hit a lot of Renee's desired points without Android being the management platform, so long as there is some management platform. And quite frankly, that could be a cloud management platform inside iCloud, right? If your watch talk to the cloud, either via Wi-Fi or via mobile/cell circuit, then sure. Like, why not manage it there? We have plenty of things that are cloud managed. The Apple devices aren't amongst them right now, but they certainly could be. And that could be an option, right, for this. And then maybe that skips the whole, you know, engineering side of rolling out and supporting an Android integration. So, I think it has to go there. I'm with you, John.
I think there's another reason for Apple to want to do this, and that is eventually Apple will saturate the market for Apple Watch connected to phones, and the curve will start to flatten. We've heard that phrase elsewhere. Yeah. And Apple likes to see perpetual growth in its product line, or at least a Gaussian, and know when it's peaked and kind of figure out, you know, when this product is gone, like the iPod eventually disappeared.
Sure.
But Apple is on an exponential rise now. I think they sold something like 35 million in the last quarter. Mm-hmm. And Apple wants to keep that curve growing. And the way to do that is to expand into Android. The other thing I thought of while you were talking, Dave, was that, you know, you never know what the future is going to hold if you close out your options. The Apple Watch is getting to be so cool and so instrumental in our life in terms of health management, and with the pulse oximeter and glucose blood, perhaps both coming in. Mm-hmm. The Apple Watch is going to become so fundamental to our lives that you don't want to close doors. And who knows what it'll morph into? You know, what comes after the Apple Watch? What infrastructure do you need to, you know, go to the next step? What doors are closed to you if the Apple Watch is limited forever to the iPhone or standalone? Mm-hmm. You could embrace the entire marketplace with the next generation Apple Watch and capture all the iPhone users and all the Android users. So looking forward, it seems to be also a smart thing to do to be prepared for the next phase of its evolution.
Well, when I was thinking about this, partly, Dave, I liked your assessment that, you know, it obviously we wouldn't have the iPhone if it weren't for the iPod. But I think also we wouldn't have the Apple that we have if it weren't for the iPod, because that
for sure
that enabled. You know, yeah, like you were talking about paving that road. And I'm like, yes, they paved it with 20s because they wouldn't have been able to afford the development on some of this stuff. You know, we wouldn't get what we're getting. But also, I think a certain amount of this, like I just sort of presumed, like in reading Renee's piece, it was pretty much this makes a lot of sense. So when I looked at it, like I sort of was presuming if this would happen and kind of what that would look like. So to me, it feels a lot like when you install a version of an operating system on an Apple device, and it's like the lowest compatibility, the oldest device or the least horsepowered device that you can install that particular iOS on. So you can install iOS 13 on, you know, whatever it is. And when you do that, that operating system, there are certain things that are just not available because that device can't do those things. Or, sure. You know, if you've got Mojave on a MacBook or a MacBook Pro, like there's a certain level where unlock with Apple Watch will work. And if you have an older device, it just doesn't show up. It's not a choice there. And I feel like that's what the Android experience would be if you were to hook an Apple Watch to an Android device. Of course, you're not going to get everything that you get on an iOS device. It's going to be a different experience. Now, whether you want to quantify that as good or bad is up to you, but it's going to be different. It's not going to do 100% of the things hooked up to an Android phone that it's going to do hooked up to an iPhone. The end.
That's probably just true. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the case.
And that's okay. I mean, there's a minimum right. level of functionality that gets you going, and you've got your watch, and the watch does all it's supposed to do.
Right.
And if you want more functionality, then you might want to consider moving to an iPhone someday, but you still exactly. are able to buy an Apple Watch, use it, exploit mm-hmm. it, and do a certain level of management on your Android device.
Right.
What's like, the problem? That
right.
works.
Like maybe phone calls can come to your arm, text messages can come to your arm, to your wrist. and maybe they're, you know, maybe Apple Music works, right? Because there is an Android version of Apple Music. So maybe there's some basic stuff that you can get, and then maybe you can track some of the health data, but you have to jump through even more hoops if you're doing it on an Android device because the security isn't there. Like it is on iOS, where Apple owns the entire kit and caboodle. So if that's the case, then, you know, maybe there's only certain things that you can track, you know, throughout the day or actively or whatever. So when I was thinking about it, like, it definitely makes sense. But the question is, how do you make it a good enough experience on Android to make it worth people picking up a $300-$500 watch, you know, to wear, versus like, it's good enough, so now I'm also just not interested in buying an iPhone because I can do this with my Android phone.
There's a marketing issue there. You have to make sure that the expectations of the customers are not dashed when they go out and buy an Apple Watch and pair it with their Android phone and they start griping. You have to market that very, very carefully.
Well, and there's a sweet spot of, this is nice, but my next phone's going to be an iPhone, right? And this is good enough.
Correctly, and this is good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's.
Yeah. You're right, though. That good enough bar, the health stuff would be the potential snag there, right? Because Apple Pay, I mean, we've got Android Pay there.
Yeah.
In fact, we have, you know, credit cards that can do it without being connected to anything, you know.
Right.
Contactless payment is a thing. So, you know, there are options there. But you're right. The privacy of health data is probably a place where Apple is not going to compromise. They certainly could. There's nothing stopping Apple from saying, hey, we're going to open up, you know, and install and allow a health app to be installed. And, you know, we're going to encrypt the data locally in the health app. But if your device isn't secure, like an iPhone is, we can't be responsible for that. Like, I mean, that's a realistic scenario. Whether Apple wants the optics of that is hard to say. But the encrypted communication between the watch and an Android phone, specifically with a specific app on there, that's totally doable.
Yeah,
that's a world that could work. It's just how does it get from there to the next place? Maybe it gets nowhere. Maybe that's the limitation. Is, look, you can have this, but your data is going to stay right here on this one phone, inside the health app, and you're done. Then you can't do. There's no aggregation. There's no, you know, pulling it all together or anything like that.
I can see the Apple support article right now with two columns, what you get in Android and what you get in iPhone and iOS.
Well, and the thing that I was, when I was wondering about that, was sort of maybe what, and this is going to sound weird, so kind of stick with me until we get through it, is you get health data, but you don't get the health app. And by that, I mean, if you use Zombies Run, or you use Runkeeper or Lose It, or any of those sort of exercise tracking kinds of apps, then the watch will track the workout for you and the calories and things, and that information will can be put over to the app if you opt in, the same way you have to do on your phone, on your iPhone. But you don't get the health app to go, you know, to get that dashboard of like, here's how much you slept last night, and here's how much water you've had today, and here's the amount of working out and your mindful minutes and your daily intake of riboflavin or, you know, whatever it is you've got in your dashboard that you can do in the health app that you can lay out and customize so that you can see all of those things or the, you know, like.
Yeah, but I realize we're getting into the weeds, but there's no reason that functionality can't exist on a non-iPhone. Like the health app and all the things you just described totally could exist on Android. And I think if Apple were to roll to Android, that absolutely would be there.
Well,
absolutely. Why would they not? That's a huge part of the sell of the Apple Watch right now anyway, is that you do get to see this data, you know, looking at it on an hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, you know, thing. It's just not synced amongst your devices if it's not, you know, if they don't have that. But I don't see any reason why a health app couldn't exist.
Well, I think it could, but I think it's the privacy piece of it. So like, you can go to Runkeeper and you can see all of your activity, but you can't put it all together with the other stuff is the Apple piece of the experience that Apple might want to hold back. Like, it was just sort of a thing I was considering. you know, because you'd still get the rings, because you'll have the rings on your watch.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right.
You
know,
you might as well have. So like, I assume the activity app or whatever it's called on your phone would transfer over. That would be the thing that you would get. You would get that unit of data and not necessarily the health one. It would be cool if you could get the health one, but the first thing I think of, because I've been a software tester for a long time, is sure, you could make an Apple Watch communicate securely with every flavor of Samsung Galaxy thingamajig, but how do you do it for all the other hardware? And that's where I think it gets sticky in a hurry, is making that work on a hardware basis when all the hardware is different.
Kelly, before we come to an end, can I get a side note in here?
Absolutely.
There's a fascinating section in Renee's article where Steve was reacting to the proposal to do Windows, iTunes on Windows, and uh-huh. Steve said no. He said, F no. So
thank you for self-editing. I appreciate that.
We kind of get into that mentality sometimes. It's surprising that Steve was wrong in this case, and there was a booming success when the iPod was available for Windows. But that mentality that Steve had about the iconoclastic attitude that, mm-hmm. you know, the best platform for customers is
mine.
Apple products.
Yes.
Is in contrast to today in Microsoft and Satya Nadella's approach, we provide solutions no matter what your platform is. Mm-hmm. So we have Microsoft Office on iPad. And so this philosophy, I know we have a walled garden. I know we have a very laudable, effective, arm-twisting infrastructure in the Apple industry. But still, the idea that the Apple Watch is so cool and so essential that we provide a solution to you, we give you your Apple Watch, no matter what your home platform is, mm-hmm. seems like a very progressive, Microsoft, a sensible kind of approach mm-hmm. in the modern sense of the word. And I've been in discussion with a sales engineering VP who's talking about how platform agnosticism is paying off a mm-hmm. lot during this era of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So times change, mm-hmm. and not only are doors open and growth enabled, but for Apple to provide the Apple Watch platform to a wider group of people is a sort of a modern Satya Nadella kind of approach that I like.
I think I would like it more if the watch had the capability to be a more independent device. I would like it not to have to rely so much on any phone, regardless the flavor of the operating system. And we keep seeing steps with every first digit iteration, we'll get there. You know, watchOS 5 to watchOS 6, watchOS 6 to watchOS 7.
First generation mm-hmm. Apple Watch now looks like a dog. It's so slow and so hard to update. And it isn't even supported by watchOS anymore.
Yeah.
But those original watches were so primitive and so slow.
Sure. But like, as the watch gets more self-reliant, you know, you can sync music to it or podcasts to it individually. You know, you can get it with a data plan so you can go off with your watch and have most of the functionality that you would have if you had your phone in your pocket, but still leave your phone at home, and all that kind of stuff works. So I think I think the watch is going to have to get to a point where it's a little more self-sufficient than it is now. And when it becomes less reliant on that phone, I think it'll be a lot easier to be able to make that relationship happen with Android.
Yeah, and Apple does that. They build infrastructure. Mm-hmm. They build infrastructure. Things mature. The hardware matures. The operating system matures. And all of a sudden, Apple's ready. They've done all the planning. They've laid out the plan on the roadmap on the whiteboard.
Yep.
And then the day comes when the new watch OS comes out, and bingo, it's there, because Apple laid the groundwork like they did with APFS.
Yeah. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, no, I see. I'm with you that the more independent the Apple Watch can become, I mean, that's better for everything, and we're heading in that direction. I see no reason why that won't accelerate instead of, you know, why that would change. The momentum is there. Apple's done it with other devices. And like I said, maybe that skips this whole need for an Android scenario. If they find some way of managing and aggregating health data, I don't think they're going to do it in the cloud though. They certainly could. I don't mean that from an engineering standpoint at all, but from the whole privacy standpoint, you know, that's their whole thing is your data, your devices, right? Mm-hmm. And that's especially true when it comes to health data and things like that. So I guess they would need, you would need some kind of other device to manage it on, because managing your health data solely on the screen of an Apple Watch
is not fun.
Feels a little restrictive to me. I mean, yes. Well, and you know, Apple has a long history of doing things that no one has sort of seen, right? They can see around mm-hmm. the corner more often than the rest of us can. So sometimes they will roll something out that you say,
until we get those displays floating in space in front of our eyes, like you see.
Well, you're right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and we will have that someday. I don't think that day is this year, but
it's not WatchOS. It's not WatchOS 7, right?
It's like the dream of the flat screen in the 1970s and 80s. That we had dreams of flat screen TVs, and the dream was always 10 years away from wherever you were, but we got there.
Right. Yeah, but you know, if your watch could AirPlay to your TV, and now you can see more at once.
Mm-hmm. That would be a nice interim step.
Right. That's an interim step. Exactly. So, you know, maybe there's a way, and Apple certainly, I would be shocked if Apple had not yet tested the watch AirPlay to a TV idea. Right. Yeah. And if they can find a UX that is truly pleasurable to use and functional, then mm-hmm. I would see that they would consider that. And maybe that helps to solve this problem and bridge that gap. I don't know, but barring something like that, I think you need another device that can do the smarts of management of it. You know, I realize that a TV, an AirPlay to a TV is another device, but like in that scenario, the watch is doing the smarts, but right. Yeah, maybe there's another way. I don't know. I'm with Renee on this. I'll zoom out a little bit and say, I agree with him that it needs to be freed from the shackles of being only manageable from an iPhone.
Yes.
Whether that means Android or some other form of, you know, separate management that doesn't involve an iPhone, I don't know. It, certainly Android would be the easy one for us to envision. And that's where my brain goes first, as just like it does with Renee. But there are, as we've discussed here, there are other ways of solving that problem that don't involve Android. Although Android,
Linux,
you know,
Linux. Yay, Linux. Well,
yes.
Android gets a bad rap for privacy and security, and it doesn't quite deserve the bad rap that it gets. It's not as bad as everybody likes to bash on it and say there, you know, there, yes, it's a more open platform, and therefore there are more potential attack vectors. But if you've got an app that is encrypting its own data and storing it there, well, that's going to be pretty rock solid from what I understand. So there you go.
Well, that'll have to do it. We've broken John, so we're going to have to call it a day for this episode anyway. So thank you both very much for being here. John, thank you for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I enjoy talking these kind of, you know, future kind of conversations. They're always interesting to have, especially with you, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Fun. Yeah.
Glad to have you with me. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.